It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. Broadcasting from Kodiak, Alaska, here up on Signal Hill, where it's 50 degrees and pretty damp. We're looking for more of this rain to go on for the rest of the day and overnight. High near 51 today, east wind to 15. Those winds are expected to turn to the northeast, 15 miles per hour, gusting to 20 tonight. Low of about 47 overnight. Coming up on the Midday Report, a snapshot on Kodiak's economy compared to last year. Governor Mike Dunleavy is proposing gambling among the state's revenue options. And an audio postcard, Wrangle blessing the fleet. That and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Joe Biden has arrived in England on his first international trip as president. NPR's Asma Khalid reports.
This White House feels that Donald Trump's isolationist America First view of the world rattled allies. And from the White House's point of view, this first overseas trip is about repairing that damage and convincing the world that the U.S. is back and here to stay. Biden will be meeting with leaders from some of the world's biggest economies to discuss the pandemic and its aftermath. He's also expected to reassure NATO allies that the United States is committed to the alliance and to discuss the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan. A White House official said the president intends to meet with about 35 world leaders during this eight-day trip, including British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
His first stop in the United Kingdom was Royal Air Force Mildenhall to thank the U.S. Air Force personnel stationed there. But first, the troops heard from his wife, Jill Biden.
We have an all-volunteer force, and it continues only because generations of Americans see the honor, dignity, and patriotism of military service.
Tomorrow, the president is set to meet with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson in Cornwall, England, the site of the G7 summit. President Biden has rescinded executive orders signed by former President Trump attempting to ban the popular apps TikTok and WeChat. The order directs an analysis of the apps to determine if they pose a threat to national security because they have connections to China. College sports are about to change dramatically, and Congress needs to act quickly in order to control that change. That was the message today at a lengthy Senate hearing about upcoming state laws that will allow college athletes to make money off the use of their name, image, and likeness. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
On July 1st, at least five state laws go into effect, allowing college athletes to, among other things, get paid for endorsements and social media content. After a nearly three-hour Senate hearing, the consensus among lawmakers and witnesses was Congress needs to pass a national law to avoid potential inequities of a state-by-state approach. Gonzaga men's basketball coach Mark Few says recruiting athletes would be tougher in states like his, Washington, which doesn't have a name, image, and likeness law.
To not have the ability to compete on some sort of level playing field would put us at a disadvantage that we couldn't make up.
Nearly 20 states have passed so-called NIL laws so far. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
On Wall Street, just before the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 153 points. The S&P was down about 7.5 points. You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
We continue to get a better idea of just how much the pandemic has affected Kodiak's economy. Job numbers released this month show a picture of Kodiak's new hires trends before and after COVID-19 mitigation controls hit the state in 2020. According to the Alaska Department of Labor, a new hire is a worker who appears on a payroll for the first time. So this is not a count of jobs, but a count of people hired to fill any job vacancy with an employer. Kodiak's total new hires in 2020 were down over 20% from 2019. 2020 started strong with first quarter new hires at nearly 40% over 2019. That could mean Kodiak employers either experienced greater turnover or more substantial growth, thus requiring more hires. But by April, when businesses had to adjust to the new pandemic reality, new hires plummeted 40% and are gradually recovering. The Department of Labor believes that 2021 will continue to show improvement as vaccinations increase and businesses open up, but returning to summer hiring levels is unlikely. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration plans to present a few revenue options for lawmakers to consider during the second special session later this summer. State Revenue Commissioner Lucinda Mahoney told lawmakers on Tuesday that the options would include the governor's proposal to expand gambling in the state. She says the administration is seeking a more detailed analysis on how much money it would raise.
These new revenue measures, what is more important about that initiative is the economic impacts of that industry on our in our economy and the potential to diversify the economy.
Mahoney says there will be, quote, a few more, unquote, revenue measures presented to legislatures, but she only hinted at what they might be.
These new revenue measures are very different than any tax that we've seen in Alaska. They're more modern, but we are still fleshing them out.
Mahoney says the administration is working on an update on how much money different revenue proposals would raise. The Department of Revenue presented estimates a year ago that ranged from just over $2 million from legalized gambling on card games to more than $1 billion if the state were to adopt a sales and use tax similar to the one in South Dakota. Nonpartisan experts estimate the gap between what the state would raise and what it would spend under Dunleavy's permanent fund dividend proposal to be $1 billion per year over the next decade. The administration estimates it to be smaller. The governor has also proposed taking $3 billion from the permanent fund's earnings to cover budget gaps over the next 5 years. There are 10 days left in the first special session. As summer fishing seasons gear up and get started, Wrangell community groups gathered at the Wrangell Mariners Memorial to wish safety to anyone on the water and to remember those who have lost their lives at sea. KSTK's Sage Smiley has this postcard from Wrangell's 2021 Blessing of the Fleet.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
A handful of boats bobbed outside the breakwater of Wrangell's Heritage Harbor on Sunday afternoon, listening by VHF broadcast to the town's 2021 Blessing of the Fleet. To the delight of the attendees on foot, the morning's cloud cover broke just before the start of the ceremony.
The Blessing of the Fleet is a tradition that began centuries ago in Mediterranean fishing communities.
Island of Faith Pastor Sue Baleda delivered remarks representing the Wrangell Ministerial Association.
And we bless these crafts and their crews in their work, in their play, in their days, in their nights. Be safe, be strong, be fruitful, this day and every day.
While fleet blessings have been a storied tradition of coastal communities for generations, Wrangell hasn't had a solid annual Blessing of the Fleet tradition. But the Wrangell Ministerial Association and Wrangell Mariners Memorial Committee aim to revitalize the event at a more permanent space for reflection on lives lost at sea, the Wrangell Mariners Memorial. Committee Chair Jen Miller Yancey says the memorial is in the final stages of construction.
As you can see, we have fresh concrete pour. Thank you everyone for being really careful around that. The concrete track was only available this weekend.
Rengel's Mariners Memorial is an idea that's been in the works for decades, but was formally brought to the city's Port Commission in 2012. 5 years later, and after many discussions, a group of Rengelites formed the Rengel Mariners Memorial Committee and got the group nonprofit status. After deciding on a design, the group broke ground on the Mariners Memorial in late 2018. Over the last year, the site has really taken shape, with the construction of a hexagonal lighthouse pavilion with an 800-pound compass rose in its center, and sweeping, boat-shaped iron walls which will hold the names of the Rengel Mariners who have passed on. Some of the first names to grace the memorial will be those of Helen and Sig Decker. The 19 and 21-year-old Rengel sister and brother died along with two of their fishing crewmates in a tragic car crash on Mitkoff Island last year. Some of the funds raised in the siblings' memory were donated to help complete construction of the Mariners Memorial. To wrap up this year's Fleet Blessing, Rengel Middle Schooler Madeline Davies read the poem If You've Ever Lived on an Island by J. Earnhardt.
If you've ever heard the seagulls, the whales, a foghorn, the winds, then you've heard the song of the coastline and the peaceful message it sends. Indeed, if you have lived on an island by the sea, you'll never return to the mainland as your spirit has been set free.
One of the assembled boats responded with a honk of thanks as land-based well-wishers milled about, chatting and enjoying local cookies and donuts. The Mariners Memorial Committee hopes to raise up to $25,000 to complete the current phase of construction, finishing the memorial walls and starting to add memorial plaques. After that, it'll be on to landscaping the site. In Rengel, I'm Sage Smiley.
Rengel hasn't had a king salmon derby since 2017. But this year, the borough's Chamber of Commerce is bringing back the historic competition for its 66th running. The chamber's outgoing director, Stephanie Cook, said the community reaction has primarily been excitement.
So we're hoping for a good turnout. You know, it's been a while since we've had a King Salmon Derby, and I know people have loved it in the past. It's obviously not going to be to the scale as it was before because we're just, you know, starting out again, and it'll be definitely smaller, but we're looking forward to it and hopeful that we have a great derby.
Patrick Fowler is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Manager for Sport Fishing around Petersburg and Rengel. He explains that communities across the southeast have had to cancel King Derbies or switch the focus to Silvers.
Southeast Alaska Wild King Salmon Stock are basically doing terrible. And we've implemented a kind of a suite of management actions in both the commercial and sport fisheries to eliminate or reduce our harvest of Southeast Alaska wild stocks. And so that's, you know, beginning in, what was it, I think it was 2017, off the top of my head, we started taking pretty restrictive action in the across Southeast, but especially in the Rengel area.
Things haven't improved in the years since. Ketchikan's King Salmon Derby organizers elected to back off of derby plans this year over continued concerns about wild Chinook stocks in Southeast. And it's not to say that ADF&G did or even can force communities not to run King Derbies. Both Ketchikan and Rengel run what are called unsanctioned derbies, where the sport-caught fish aren't allowed to be sold. Rengel's King Salmon Derby and any other unsanctioned derby just have to operate under the area's current sport fishing regulations. Fowler says that most of the districts in the Rengel area open to retention of kings on June 15th.
Derby outside of the, you know, the historic timing there during the times that we are going to allow some retention of king salmon in you know, some of the area, not the entire area. And, you know, essentially the magnitude of harvest that we anticipate from the Rengel Derby is a low enough level that we don't need to change the sport fishing regulations because of that harvest.
Rengel's 2021 King Salmon Derby is scheduled to run from June 15th to June 30th. That's a bit shorter than King Derbies of the past. Rengel used to host the longest Salmon Derby in Southeast, running for more than a month through May and early June during the height of the King Salmon Run. Tickets cost $25, and the first place fish will take home $3,000 this year. As COVID-19 restrictions are lifting in the Northwest Arctic Borough, local public safety officials are continuing their push to get village public safety officers in more communities. As KOTC's Wesley Early reports, the program is roughly halfway to its goal of having one officer per village.
When Acha Kamarov took over as the head of public safety for the Northwest Arctic Borough at the start of last year, there were no village public safety officers, or VPSOs, in any of the borough's 10 village communities. Kamarov says a lack of public safety is a problem in many rural Alaska communities, and getting VPSOs in the Northwest Arctic was her first priority.
I want our communities to be with law enforcement in all communities. I don't care if you're in Imangak, or if you're in Alakakit, or in Anaktuvuk Pass, and in our region, Kivalina, Buckland, all of those villages, we all need law enforcement.
Though the pandemic slowed down how quickly she could fill the VPSO jobs, she and the borough still have made major progress in hiring.
We have a VPSO coordinator and five VPSOs.
Kamarov would have to hire five more VPSOs to meet her goal of having one in each village. Once those officers are hired, another priority is getting them up to speed on Inupiaq culture. Most of the officers are from the lower 48, so they first come to Kotzebue to meet the borough officials before heading to villages for field training.
When we had them in Anchorage for a long time, I had them study the Northwest Arctic Borough website. I had them study all of the villages, you know, their history and the type of people that live up here and the different cultures in the state of Alaska, because they're coming from New York or Arkansas or Arizona, and they have no idea.
Kamarov says getting officers through the application process can be lengthy. It normally takes about 3 months to make a hire. Kamarov says she understands village leaders' continued push for public safety.
And, you know, people want something, like all of us, we want something right now. But it takes a while to get to the right now. And the process it takes to do the hiring is one process. The training is another process.
The officers train through the VPSO Academy in Sitka. The next 16-week academy starts at the end of July. This week, Kamarov says a VPSO for the region is graduating from the academy.
We placed him for the village of Sungnak. He did some work there last year and was there some last summer.
Currently, VPSOs work in 2-week shifts, rotating between their homes and the villages they serve. It's a similar model to how the Kotzebue Police Department operates. Kamarov says it isn't ideal. She'd prefer having officers live in the region. However, she says that hasn't been practical.
When we first started, or I started in this position, it was very hard to hire folks, so we had to figure out a way to entice people to come on board. And 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off schedule was a way to do it.
Kamarov says the next step in expanding VPSO coverage in the region is making sure that the village communities have the infrastructure to support an officer.
Meaning an office location, a holding cell where you have that. You also have to have the living unit. You know, we're not going to be working 24 hours a day, 365, you know.
She says the borough is working with communities to provide grants and other means for getting public safety buildings in all of the villages. Now that COVID-19 is becoming less of an issue, she's planning more meetings in person with village leaders to gauge their public safety needs moving forward. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is headed to Alaska next week for a seafood promotion trip. The Republican Lieutenant Governor leaves for Juneau on Monday and will return to Louisiana on Thursday, according to his office. Among his plans, Nungesser will attend a dinner combining Louisiana and Alaska seafood to mark a formal partnership between the Louisiana Seafood Promotion Board and the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. He'll also take a boat tour and attend an event hosting travel and food writers. Louisiana and Alaska are the country's two top seafood harvesting states, producing about 6.5 million pounds of seafood annually, according to Nungesser's office.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Choose your favorite seafood to help Alaskans learn about next year's ranked choice voting. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaskans opted last year for ranked choice voting as the way to elect candidates starting next year. Voters will get one ballot and rank several candidates for a given office by preference. The one who gets the majority of votes wins. State election officials are using Alaska Seafood to test out a new online voting method in a mock primary. Voters can select from 18 choices. So far, pollock, king crab, halibut, and sockeye salmon are leading the pack. Division Director Gail Fanumiai told Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin the top seafood vote-getters will be determined next week.
At the close of polls at 5 p.m. on June 15th, we will then tally the top four, and then we will create a general election, ranked choice voting election.
Then Fanumiai said the public can go online and rank them from 1 through 4. If no seafood wins a majority in round one, the last place finisher is eliminated and those votes are given to the remaining three until one seafood favorite gets a majority of the votes.
And people will be able to see how that works, what the ballot's going to look like somewhat, just to familiarize themselves with what to expect when they go to the polls. And then at the end of that, they'll be able to see how the various rounds of tabulation work.
Although this seafood mock election is online, primary voters next August will cast ballots in normal ways, in person or absentee, by mail or fax.
Just letting folks know that in the primary, you're still going to get one ballot. There will no longer be multiple ballots to pick from, and you will still be selecting one choice for each race that appears on your ballot.
Meanwhile, Alaskans can get familiar with the new ranked choice system by voting for their favorite Alaska seafood by June 15th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 9th day of June, the year 2021. The sun rose at 5:10. It will set again at 11:08. That will give us 17 hours and 58 minutes of glorious kind of rainy daylight, a gain of 1 minute and 42 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 3 p.m. straight up. That's going to be a 6.5-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 8:01 this evening, a 2 2/3-foot tide. Our high tide for the middle of the night will be at 2:09 a.m., a 9-foot tide. And our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 9:03 a.m. and be minus 8/10 of a foot. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 3:11 p.m. That will be a 12.4-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:51 this evening of 3 feet. Your next high tide will be at 2:39 a.m. of 13.9 feet. And your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will occur at 9:24 a.m. and be minus 1.4 feet. Let's see what the Fish and Game has to say.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 2. Date issued 10 a.m. on June 9th. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Thursday, June 10th until 9 p.m. Saturday, June 12th in the following areas: in the Cape Alatak, Humpy Dead Man, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. As previously announced, there will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period in the Northwest Kodiak District from noon Wednesday, June 9th until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 10th. Following areas remain open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice: the Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Iziwa Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Closed waters will be reduced in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406. In Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822. And to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. And in Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy Bay and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, beginning at noon Tuesday, June 8th, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse-seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. The closed waters are shown in the Kodiak area salmon statistical chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Mariners, here is your forecast from Marmot Island to Sitkanak. Kodiak's east side offshore, small craft advisory for tonight and Thursday. East wind to 20 knots right now, seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, northeast wind to 20 knots, seas to 8 feet. Over in the Shelikof, Kodiak's west side, small craft advisory today, northeast 25 right now, seas to 8 feet. For tomorrow, look for northeast wind to 20 knots, seas to 5 feet. For inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays, Chiniak Bay, east wind to 15 knots right now, seas to 6 feet. Strike that, 4 feet. For tomorrow, northeast wind to 15 knots, seas to 4 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, east wind to 20 knots right now, seas to 7 feet. And for tomorrow, northeast wind to 15 knots, seas to 4 feet. The Planning and Zoning Commission is having a work session. That's happening tonight, 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. Tomorrow, the Borough Assembly is having a work session. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. at the Bayside Fire Hall. And next Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning are having a regular meeting. That's happening next Wednesday, June 16th, 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. The Kodiak City Council will hold a regular meeting tomorrow. That's happening at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multi-purpose room. The meeting is open to the public. It will be broadcast here on KMXT and web-streamed from the city's website, where you can find the link to web-stream from, as well as agendas and meeting packets. If you have more information that you need, call 486-8636, the city clerk. Have you heard the buzz? Kodiak Public Library is hosting a community beekeeping project. Watch a live hive check every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Call to reserve a spot outside with the beekeeper, or you can watch from inside. For more information, contact Ani at 486-8683. Also, if you're looking for a job, the library is a great place to start your job search, with resources for discovering new career paths, creating resumes, finding local job opportunities. The Alaska Department of Labor offers several weekly workshops, such as creating effective resumes and interviewing strategies. The library can help you with your job search. The library is open from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. KMXT Board of Directors will hold their next monthly regular meeting Tuesday, June 15th. That's happening 6 p.m. via Zoom. If you'd like to sit in on the meeting, please call the station at 486-3181 or send an email requesting access to Jared, that's J-A-R-E-D, at kmxt.org, and the link will be sent to you before the meeting. Are you missing live music? The Kodiak Arts Council and Lucky Pierre Productions are bringing the Alaska bluegrass band Blackwater Railroad Company to the fairgrounds on Saturday, July 3rd. The show starts at 6:30 with Frank Sullivan and Jillian Lee, followed by Ellamy Tiller and Twang. Doors open at 6 p.m. Bring your camp chair and enjoy some food with the Kodiak Lions. Get your tickets at kodiakarts.org. That's kodiakarts, all one word, .org. And I've been assured there will be a beer garden. CANA, the Alaska Sea Grant, and the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak strongly advise against eating personally harvested shellfish from the Kodiak region at this time are currently seeing elevated levels of toxins. Paralytic shellfish poisoning toxins increase dramatically in the summer months and remain through fall in the Kodiak region. This is due to naturally occurring toxic phytoplankton that bloom in the warm water. All bivalve shellfish, that includes clams, cockles, and mussels, as well as predatory snails and the digestive tissues of crab, can accumulate PSP toxins. People are at risk from eating personally harvested, untested shellfish. And remember, PSP toxins can't be removed by cooking, freezing, or soaking. Early symptoms of PSP include tingling, numbness, and nausea, and can progress rapidly to respiratory distress. If you feel any symptoms after eating untested shellfish, call 911 or go to your local clinic immediately. And of course, commercially harvested shellfish is regulated and safe for consumption. For more information, call Grace at 486-1360 or Julie at 486-1514.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org. Thank you.